You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Paul Eales.
And welcome to the Race to Dubai show as a nerveless display sees Eddie Pepperell claim his first European Tour title at the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters.
I always felt like I would win, you know, hopefully my career will be long out here. I hope to win plenty of times, but we'll just see. But to get the first one's always the toughest, so I'm delighted.
Eddie edged out fellow Englishman Oliver Fisher, whose quest for win number two ultimately ended in disappointment.
I hit a lot of good shots on the back nine, set myself up a few chances, just too many bogeys today. You know, I mean, I made four bogeys, so you're never going to win a tournament making that many mistakes on a Sunday, but at least I pressed them all the way.
A full review of the final instalment in the Desert Swing to come, plus we've got two events to preview this week, the WGC Mexico Championship and the Shwani Open. And I'm pleased to say that this week I'm joined by European Tour winner Paul Eales. Paul, how are you?
I'm in great shape, Dan. Thanks for having me along.
You are looking very well. You are suitably bronzed from, well, I don't know how long in Florida. What have you been up to?
Yeah, very kind of you to say. Yeah, I was in Florida for 4 weeks playing a bit of golf, doing some radio stuff with a good pal of ours, Maddie Adams. And just generally having a great time.
Yes, thanks for that. Just remind us of the temperatures out in Florida, because we are shivering in the UK at the moment.
Yeah, I'll just give you the average.
Go on,
it was around about 85
thanks
degrees.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, lots of sunshine, and it was brilliant.
Sunshine, of course, out in Qatar. Eddie Pepperell held off the challenge of Oliver Fisher to win his first European Tour title by just the one shot at the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Long time coming, do you think, for Eddie? He's had his issues, of course. He had to go back to Q school a couple of years ago, but I think everybody had pegged Eddie as a winner at some stage in the early part of his career.
Yeah, Eddie's a larger-than-life character, isn't he? I mean, with his blogs that he's becoming well-known for now, he speaks his mind and he speaks very, very well. But as a golfer, you know, he's been on the verge a couple of times, led in 2014, no day, I think he was in a playoff. Ireland, was it?
That's right.
And so he's been on the verge without actually coming through, but I think this time he kind of thought, you could see with him there that he was confident and this week was going to be his week.
Entered the final day at the Doha Golf Club level with his compatriot Ollie Fisher, as we mentioned, 16 under par as he started that final round. He didn't really have to do too much to go into the lead because Ollie started poorly. He bogeyed three of the first six holes. And sometimes you do enough just to stay disciplined and stand still if the others around you are losing their heads.
Yeah, you've still got to manage your own game. It was disappointing, obviously, for Ollie bogeying four, five and six, I think it was, on the spin on that front nine. But they are really tricky holes. But Eddie just kept going along nicely, kept making pars, didn't make any mistakes, and he was always ahead of the game. And even though I don't think he was playing particularly well on that last round in terms of striking the ball, he had enough there to have enough control to win.
Renato Paratore and Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño started to make a bit of a move, but as you mentioned, you always felt that Eddie kept them at five irons length, didn't they? And I guess if you're coming from off the pace, you can play with a bit of freedom. It's when you get towards the top of the leaderboard, suddenly the nerves start to kick in and the likes of Paratore and Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño started to drop away again.
Yeah, they did. And it is a great golf course in the setup that 16, 17 and 18 all give you very, very good birdie chances. But you know, you can also slip up on those holes. So it was really interesting, even coming down the stretch. But unfortunately for the guys you mentioned, Gonzo and Renato, they just couldn't make those extra birdies that they needed to put the added little bit of pressure on Eddie.
Yeah, Marcus Shinault as well got close towards the leading duo, but it did come down to a little bit of a shootout. First mistake from Eddie on the 15th, his first bogey of the day, just opened the door a little. It was a poor tee shot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. Went with the 3-wood off the tee. Having said that, Oliver had missed the fairway well to the left and he'd found a sandy lie. Eddie trying to find the fairway, which is really imperative because it's a long hole, downhill tee shot, but the second shot over water. So you need to find that. Eddie leaked it out to the right, but with conversation with Mick Doran, his really experienced caddy, he was able to lay up and make a bogey no worse, which was fine. Jumped back with a great birdie at 16. and saw things home.
He did indeed. Birdie also for Fisher at 16, and then a great tee shot from Ollie on 17 to close the gap to one as he managed to kick one in pretty much on the penultimate hole.
Yeah, he did. Eddie had a putt coming up the hill on 16 for birdie, didn't make it. And then, as you say, I mean, Oliver's tee shot was so good at 17, he just tapped it in from a couple of feet. And then it was all on going down the last.
It was indeed. Par 5, talk us through what happened, because obviously they were playing partners. The gap was just one. First time, really, in the entire round that there was a little bit of pressure on Eddie.
Particularly after Oliver's tee shot, because he absolutely nutted it off the 18th tee, and he took a bit of a bounce forward, but unfortunately for him, landed on quite a severe downslope in the fairway on the left-hand side. Eddie got the driver out. He hadn't been using the driver much during the tournament. Had a lot of three woods, but he sort of squeezed one out the neck, but found the fairway. But he was way back, so he was always going to have to lay up, which it wasn't a brilliant layup for him, to be fair. But unfortunately, Oliver's lie meant that he couldn't go for the home green in two, and he had to lay up also.
So they both laid up, but Ollie did have a putt for birdie that potentially would have forced a playoff. It just slid by, unfortunately.
Yes, it did. I mean, he played a nice pitch shot in just to the right of the flag, and it was a sort of a downhill right to left, and he just had a little bit too much pace on it, and it hit the top edge and went by. But Eddie's shot to the green wasn't a pushover, because his layup left him in the rough quite a long way back. Again, discussion with his caddy Mick, who said, come on, you know, 9-9 I think is the club here, out of the rough, get it on the green. And he two-putted from, you know, 35, 40 feet maybe for the winning par.
And that was the win for Eddie Pepperell. You touched upon the fact that he used three wood a lot off the tee. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, Qatar's such a good course. The rough is normally really thick and the greens are very, very firm. So they didn't have too much wind during the week, but usually you find that you can only control that golf ball around the Qatar links if you are on the fairway. So maybe that's what Eddie was thinking, that he and his caddy discussed that the driver's not really behaving this week. Let's get it in play and see what happens from there.
Is it sometimes difficult to keep your discipline with clubs like that? Because when players are coming at you, sometimes you want to pull the driver out, you want to give yourself a better position on the green. And it's a mental thing as much as anything else, I guess.
Yeah, and but it is a big course, but fortunately the wind didn't blow, so it wasn't really needed to hit the driver that many times during the week round the Qatar course. So, you know, Eddie had his game plan. He did play really well from tee to green. I think he was leading the field in strokes gained tee to green for the first three rounds, so he was right up there. But his game just deserted him a little, but he played golf coming in, and he played and he won, and that was brilliant.
Grounded out, and a very popular player on tour, as you mentioned, popular amongst his fellow players. And we've got some great tweets from a number of players who were congratulating Eddie. This from Chris Paisley, who of course has won on tour this year. He says, delighted for Eddie Pepperell. The way that he's come back from a rough 2016 is seriously impressive, having been knocking on the door ever since. Enjoy a nice bottle, mate, which he did later on. What else have we got, Paul?
Yeah, we got Luke Donald. Happy for you, Eddie Pepperell. That first win is very special indeed. And a shout out to my old caddy, Mick Doran, for helping him get over the line. Enjoy a few cold ones, lads.
And this from Ian Poulter. Congratulations, Eddie Pepperell. Great to see. And for Matt Fitzpatrick, yes, great playing, Eddie Pepperell. Delighted for you, pal. And I'm delighted to say that Eddie Pepperell joins us on the Race to Dubai show now. Eddie, congratulations. Your first win, the 129th attempt in your sixth season on tour. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. Obviously, long time coming, as you just alluded to there, with it being 129th start. You know, I guess a relief in a way to finally just win and get that little monkey off the back. I haven't got, you know, much to say other than the feeling of relief, I guess, is the number one emotion off the back of winning.
Well done, Eddie. Thoughts on that final round, and particularly if you can go back to Saturday and what was going on at number 12?
Number 12. Well, obviously, I said on TV I wanted to blow the hole up, so I probably should take that back, actually. That didn't come out quite right. Sunday was, you know, I didn't feel like I had my best game on me at that day compared to how it felt the other three rounds, but I still felt in good control, and especially when Ollie had made a few bogeys, I knew that I was, you know, with the lead, so it was a case of just playing smart and not making any silly errors, and I felt like I did that by and large really well yesterday. So, you know, I felt comfortable leading from the front, which is which is a nice thing. I haven't really felt that comfortable before in that position. So, yeah, but obviously Ollie made it a little more difficult for me at the end with this comeback, and that was all credit to him, really. It kind of took me by surprise, not him doing that, but all of a sudden creeping up onto the 18th tee and realising I'm actually only one shot ahead. Seemingly that came out of nowhere. So, yeah, it was a fun day, and, I look forward now that I've won one, and won, I guess, the way I have. I did win. I think it can give me a lot of confidence moving forward.
Eddie, it's been a roller coaster career so far. Thought of as a rising star on the European Tour, rightly so, but dropped out of the world's top 500 in 2016. Had to come through Q School to regain your card. It has been a roller coaster over the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's certainly, the emotions have been, everywhere, really, to be honest. Like you mentioned, back in 2016, missing a number of cuts and ended up losing my card and feeling pretty lost with my game. And, that was a tough time. But, to then bring it around to last year where having a really tough category and, knowing that playing opportunities were going to be limited and to kind of have the season I had off the back of that was a surprise to me. And, a good show of my character, if I can say that. The first few years before that certainly felt a little more steady and benign compared to the last couple. But, we do only live once, and I guess it would be a shame if it was all good or all bad. So, it's good to chuck in a bit of both.
Now, Eddie, you are very active on social media. You've got your own blog. How much do you enjoy that aspect of your life? And do you think it's important to have interests away from the golf course?
I'm pretty active on social media, although I haven't, took to Instagram yet and posting any kind of selfies or nude pictures of myself, but that might come down the line. You never know. I'm going to have to stop drinking red wine, I think, should that happen. But Twitter, I enjoy the banter that comes with Twitter, and I don't take it too seriously. I don't take myself too seriously. And I kind of enjoy that. And the blog is a bit of a different insight, I guess, into the more serious kind of nature that I have, and when I'm a bit quieter and reflective, I guess, and introspective, that comes out in the blog. So I enjoy the whole thing. If I didn't, then I would stop doing it, I feel like it at least gives people maybe a little insight into me as a person and me as a golfer as well, because I think many people have misconceptions about sportsmen and famous people or celebrities or whoever, just because somebody is something or has been successful doesn't mean that their life is as black and white as it maybe is perceived in the media and that type of thing. So anytime I can kind of give a little insight into how life can be for a golfer, then I kind of enjoy doing that.
And finally, Eddie, thoughts on the rest of the season? What's next? Obviously, a win does open a few doors for you. Has your schedule changed at all?
No, my schedule hasn't changed. So I was originally going to have 6 weeks off anyway and next play Madrid. And this just now means when I go to New York, I can probably spend a bit more money on a couple of nice bottles of red wine or, I don't know, do something crazy. Don't know what that would entail, to be honest. But it's not really changed anything. To be honest, it will just mean that I guess I'll be on TV a little bit more on the Thursdays and Fridays, which would be good for the sponsors. And if there's anyone out there that wants to chuck a 20 quid or tenner my way, then they can get a hat deal. So they'll get some great exposure in Madrid, at least.
Well, Eddie, we've really enjoyed watching you play out in the Gulf. Congratulations once again, and we'll speak again soon. Have a great year.
Eddie, well done. A long time coming. Hopefully not too long to wait for the next one. Well done, mate.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate that. Thanks very much.
Great to hear from Eddie. He was confident coming into the event. Obviously, he said, I really felt my game was in good shape, really felt I could win. He's backed it up.
He also, to me, was aware of where he was in that final round, and he kept his attention focused on what he needed to do, which was the main thing, and that's experience for you.
The win sees him receive €236,315 and moves him up to 13th in the Race to Dubai standings. He climbs 62 places from 154th in the world to 92nd. Now, despite just missing out on a first European Tour win since 2011, runner-up Ollie Fisher was pleased with his efforts in Qatar.
We went all the way to the last hole, which I guess after my front nine was kind of what I was kind of hoping for on the back nine. So I hit a lot of good shots coming around on the back nine, set myself up a few chances, just too many bogeys today. I made four bogeys, so you're never going to win a tournament making that many mistakes on a Sunday. But it was a kind of different course. The horse was playing, asking a few more different questions, and I probably just left myself a little bit too much to do on that. You know, 4-8, I got a little bit unlucky with the putt. I felt like it was going to be slow, but there was a little bit of a sort of ball patch on the green, and I knocked it a few foot by. I missed it one back, and then a couple of back-to-back bogeys after that sort of put me really on the back foot. So, you know, I was proud of myself the way I sort of settled myself down and made some good swings coming around the turn, and played, you know, lovely shot into 12, chain about 13, but then 14 was really good. 15, I made a great save, and then again, you know, decent swing on 17th tee. So, listen, it's not, like you said, not the result I wanted, but, you know, there was some good stuff there.
He's taking the positives, got off to a bad start. It's been around a long time, Ollie, just the one win, but maybe getting close to that second now.
Yeah, and I think the thing, you know, listening to him there, he's obviously become resilient over the years. It's not always been great stuff going forward for him, but, you know, having those three bogeys in succession on the front nine, he stuck at it, played fantastically well on the back nine. That's experience, that's resilience, and well done, Ollie Fisher.
And a highest ever finish at a European Tour event for Sweden's Marcus Schinnelt, who was third.
Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, I was really nervous coming down the last hole there. I managed to make a good birdie, which was pretty huge, I think, looking at the leaderboard as well. It was really important. So, yeah, feels good. Four good rounds. I think it's actually the first time I feel like I played well over 72 holes. So yeah, really happy.
Really good amateur player, now in the pro ranks, of course, and certainly one to watch.
He is taking his time to get through and make his mark on the European Tour. But both he and Renato Paratori played in the Junior Ryder Cup that was at Blair Gowrie when the Ryder Cup was at Glen Eagles going back 2014, I remember. But certainly a name to watch, and you know, could he be a Ryder Cupper going forward?
Schinnelt was third. We need the full top 10, Ilze, from the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters 2018.
Tied in 10th, Adrian Ortegi, Mike Lorenzo Vera, Matthew Baldwin tied 8th, Sebastian Heisler and George Kutsia tied 4th, Renato Paratori, Pablo Larrazabal, Gregory Havare and Gonzalo Fernandez Castano. In 3rd was Marcus Schinnelt, 2nd was Oliver Fisher, and our winner of the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters was Eddie Pepperell.
Predictions from last week, slightly different this year, Eelsy, in terms of how we're running our competition. So I'll explain it for you because it's the first time that you've been in 2018. It is presenter versus co-presenter, head-to-head, two picks apiece. One pick has to be from outside the top 50 from the final 2017 R2D standings. The scoring system is like this. 20 points if you manage to find a winner, 10 points for a top 5, 5 for top 20. And if you miss the cut, there is a forfeit. It is minus 5. Now, last week, I was sat in this chair and went for Chris Wood, who was tied 13th. 12 under, he gets me 5 points. Andy Sullivan was outside the top 20, finished tied 34th, 9 under, doesn't get me anything, but I get 5 points in total. And John Hawksworth, who was sat where you're sitting now, Eels, he went for Torbjorn Olesen, who missed the cut, so that's minus 5, and also Sam Horsfield, who missed the cut, so that's another minus 5. So minus 10 on the week. Is that a shocker?
Unlucky for John, that. I mean, I went for Sam Horsfield in my fantasy.
Did you know?
I did, yeah. And, you know, Olesen, well, there you go, Thunderbear. You wouldn't have expected him to miss the cup.
Yeah, we'll get on to the fantasy race to Dubai shortly. Let me just remind listeners, for those that are interested, the current score, the presenter, 60 points, co-presenter is on 10.
Yeah, no need for you to read that out at all.
You know, I know this is your first time here, but you've got work to do already.
Yeah, it's not my first.
It's not your fault, but it is.
It's not my first rodeo. Don't worry about it. We'll be coming back, and I'll remind you that it is a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay. We need the Race to Dubai top 10 as it stands, Paul.
As it stands in 10th place, we have Ross Fisher. Joost Luiten is in 9th. Wade Ormsby, 8th. Dylan Fratelli is 7th. Chris Paisley at 6th. Jorge Campillo is 5th. Rory McIlroy at 4. Hao Tong Li is 3rd. Tommy Fleetwood is 2nd. And Shubhankar Sharma is leading the Race to Dubai as we speak.
And he's playing this week in Mexico, of course. We need the Ryder Cup lists as it stands. We're inching ever closer to the clash with the Americans in Paris. How do we stand at the moment?
Okay, would you like the European list first?
Whatever you like.
Well, there's a couple of lists, isn't there?
There are.
From the European, the top 4 in 4th is Matt Fitzpatrick, Ross Fisher, Tyrrell Hatton and Justin Rose. They would all qualify as we stand from the European list. The next 4 would be from the world list, and that would be Alex Noren, Sergio Garcia, Tommy Fleetwood, and John Rahm.
Strong enough side from a European point of view at the moment. Obviously, we've got full wildcard picks as well. How are you feeling at this stage of the year?
I'm feeling very good because all of these players, if the Ryder Cup was round the corner, on top form. So from a European perspective, I would be very confident.
Whilst we're on the Ryder Cup, what do you make of US captain Jim Furyk's decision to make Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker vice-captains this past week?
Yeah, early call on Tiger as he's starting to come back and play. Not a role I don't think you can be a vice-captain and a player, but at least Tiger knows he's going to be involved some way, so maybe that takes the pressure off him playing. But the way he's looking, he really does look like he actually might have a run for the team.
Why can't you do both?
Well, because he's got so many things off course to do, running around in a buggy, looking at players, looking at pairings, liaising with the captain. So if you're actually playing, you've got enough on your plate without actually doing that other stuff. But I think from players' point of view, and certainly from the European point of view, they're all captains in their own right. And they even extend that to the caddies, where everybody's allowed an opinion. So, you know, it's... But once you're playing, you've got to focus totally on your own game.
Just a reminder that Tiger Woods finished 12th at the Honda Classic in Florida at the weekend. It was an event won by Justin Thomas, who overcame Luke List at the first playoff hole, having finished at 8 under par. Alex Noren was in third place, and Tommy Fleetwood, who did lead down the stretch at one stage, finished fourth. Decent effort from the European duo.
Yeah, it was for me, coming into that final back nine on the Sunday, I thought it was going to be a European win either from Tommy or Alex. Alex had played particularly well in three out of the four rounds. Day two wasn't particularly good for him. Tommy was looking sensational. Tee to green, so solid. Unfortunately, a little hiccup with a three put on 14. 15's a tough hole. He dropped a shot there, recovered with a birdie on the last, but the damage had been done. And unfortunately for Alex, he got a wicked lie by the 18th green, couldn't get it up and down that would have taken him to eight, and finished just one outside the playoff.
Yeah, we'll talk about Justin Thomas a little bit later as well when we preview the WGC event. Next to the Fantasy Race to Dubai game. And congratulations to listener Alex Martin after his hoo-ha team scored the most points in the show's mini league. No change at the top, though, where Magnus Dulke still leads the way. In the global standings, David Cartledge was the best in the world last week, while Philip Waldron can count himself the number one fantasy player in the entire universe right now. You touched on your team earlier, Ealsy.
Oh, yeah.
No good.
No,
who did you have?
Well, I had Thomas Dietrich, and Andy Sullivan was my captain. Okay. Fortunately, they both made the cut. But unfortunately, Charlie Ford, Sam Horsfield, Julian Surrey and Jordan Smith all exited on Friday night. Yeah.
Oh, dear. You are in 70th position in our mini league.
And just thought am I supposed to be worried about that?
Well, I just thought I'd let you know. I'm in 28th at the moment. Rob Lee.
I'm very happy for
Rob Lee, you won't believe how seriously Rob Lee takes the fancy. He's in 9th at the moment.
Listen, and you don't. I've seen you with your research. Wearing that hat.
My selections are... done on the back of a fag packet. Mr. Lee is a very different animal, let me tell you.
He's a winner.
You can join in, of course. Go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. You can pick your team and you can enter the Fantasy Race to Dubai game. And don't forget to check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for this week's event on europeantour.com. On to the first of this week's events to preview next, and the WGC Mexico Championship at the Chapultepec Golf Club in the suburbs of the nation's capital, Mexico City. Last year, Ealsy, Dustin Johnson held off a strong European challenge, which included Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm and Ross Fisher, to claim success. He had a bit of a wobble on the back nine, but he got the job done just a few days after turning world number one.
Yeah, he was in a rich vein of form at that particular time of the year, wasn't he? And he did have a wobble, but like you say, as all champions do, managed to get over the line. But it was interesting from a European point of view. We had a few of our lads in the running there and some high finishes. And obviously, Tommy Fleetwood, it sort of set his season up, didn't it? The rest of the year, he was spectacular after that.
He won Abu Dhabi prior to that, but you sense it was his close finish to Dustin Johnson that propelled him onto the world stage, or certainly in the minds of those that watch the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I think there is a difference in the mindset of the players between a regular Tour event and a WGC stroke major. And I think that was the first time Tommy was in contention for a WGC. And, you know, he's gone on from there. So, you know, hopefully we can see some Euros at the top of the leaderboard this week.
What do you know about the course, Ealsy? I've got some stats on it here. Well, I can give you a history lesson if you like.
Let me guess. I mean, it's Mexico, so there's altitude, so it will play shorter than whatever yardage it is.
That's not on my list, but continue.
Okay, well, there you
this
go.
Is probably more useful than what I'm going to say,
well,
but go on.
I'll let you say that. It's tight, lots of trees. And, of course, I think probably accuracy, from what I remember, there's a lot of players using irons off tees last year just to find the fairway. Length wasn't of a premium because of altitude, but accuracy certainly is.
Words of wisdom from Mr. Eales. These are the notes handed to me by the producer. You ready? History lesson for you, Ealsy.
Go ahead.
Construction was interrupted by the Mexican Revolution and led to architect Willie Smith, the 1899 US Open winner, passing away in 1916 without seeing the course finished.
Oh.
Smith's brother Alex took over the project, saw it to its completion. A Percy Clifford redesign in 1972 made significant changes, with more upgrades that were made ahead of its WGC introduction. It's only the second time that it has been used. So you can take that information and pass it on to your loved ones.
That.
It is a bit,
sad.
Really. I just thought I'd try and sneak that one in. But generally, it is tight, isn't it? A DJ won last year. As we know, he suggested that the greens are fairly tough to pot on. Played over 72 holes, usual stroke play format, but no cut. What does that do to players' mindset? Does it change it at all?
Yeah, it does. Obviously, you're not worrying about a cut. You know you're going to be there for 4 days, so you can either go gung-ho or you can just pick your way around and have the ultimate patience that you would probably need over the 4 days. So I'm sure the players and the caddies will work it out, what's the best thing for them. But keep going. Every single shot is money.
Six of the top 10 in the world will be teeing it up in Mexico. We need the top 10, Paul, and tell us who is playing this week and who isn't from the top 10.
OK, well, rather than in reverse order, let's go. Dustin Johnson, your world number one. He is playing. Jon Rahm is number two. He is in the field. Justin Thomas is number three in the world. He is playing. Jordan Spieth, number four. He is in the field. Justin Rose is at five. He is in the field. Hideki Matsuyama is number six. He is not playing. Ricky Fowler is seventh. He will be in Mexico. Jason Day is eight. He's not playing. Number nine, Brooks Koepka is not playing. And 10 in the world is Rory McIlroy, who will not be with us in Mexico.
OK, so a quartet of players from the world top 10 not teeing up. Do we know why?
Yeah, Jason Day, personal reasons. Mum's, I think, had undergone surgery. Koepka and Matsuyama are injured. Or recovering from injuries. And Rory, it's just not in his schedule for whatever reason, whether he doesn't like the golf course or it's too much to play early on or not really sure.
He did announce this back end of last year, so it's not really a surprise. And we have seen him five times on a golf course since late January, including the last 3 weeks. And he is coming back from injury after all. It's not a massive surprise, is it, that he's made his schedule in this sort of way?
No, and there'll be certain weeks that Rory will be targeting to be spot on with his form, and this one doesn't really count for him.
It is a strong field, as you mentioned. Let's talk about one or two, or even more, of the players that will be teeing up. Justin Thomas, of course, won last week. He was fifth here last year. How good is this young man? Because suddenly he's bumped up to sort of Spieth-Johnson level, isn't he?
Yes, and I think a lot of that is because he's pally with them as well. There's sort of a community of practice with them and a sort of a family feeling with the lads that they're pushing each other on. And he just gets on with it and he has a good rip. I mean, he swings so hard at it, but his short game's pretty good and he's putting beautifully at the moment.
Dustin Johnson, of course, has won this year, defending champion. Can't rule him out.
World number one for over a year now. He's got so much power. He's got so much game in every department that you've got to fancy him figuring.
What's happened to Jordan Spieth? Last win was at the Open. He's gone. He's gone at the game.
No, well,
he's gone at the game.
He's not holing out as well as he did do. I mean, the long range putts that we saw him hole on regular basis last year, they're not going in. So it seems a little bit of a putting woe time for him at the minute. Although, having said that, his long game does appear to be getting more robust.
Speaking of long game, Jon Rahm, of course, has won this year from a European standpoint. We know he plays predominantly on the PGA Tour. But again, he's going places. Again, he's won this campaign. He won the career builder challenge. What a prospect he is, not just for this week, but for us when it comes to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he's the real deal now, isn't he? I think a couple of tournaments earlier on in the year, he had a chance to overtake Dustin Johnson and go to world number one. So he's not a fly-by-night. He's been around now. He's come onto the tour. He's winning, and he's looking like winning big events each week he plays.
Speaking about players who are certainly not fly-by-night, Tommy Fleetwood, we touched on him earlier, second here last year. He's won already this year, went back-to-back, of course, in Abu Dhabi. I think there was just a small question mark about whether he could do it again after such a brilliant 2017. He is proving that he can.
I think Tommy's getting better and better, and his long game is so, so good now, and ally that to hole in a few putts. I thought he played the best of the golf tee to green over the weekend from what I saw in America. He didn't quite get the job done, finishing a couple of shots away. But, you know, Tommy's figuring, and you can't win every week, but you've got to put yourself in that position for a chance to win, and he seems to be doing that on a regular basis.
So many good names to mention. Justin Rose has won three times in his last seven starts. He seems to have gone under the radar. I know that there have not been PGA Tour wins, but even so, another class act.
Yes, he is. Olympic gold medalist, and you know, Justin goes on, his game is so good that he just keeps putting himself in that situation. Another player I would put in that category, although not quite as high, is Matt Kuchar. He's around week in, week out. So there's another name to follow going into this week.
Just going to rattle through some European players who are making the trip to Mexico. We mentioned Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, who won in Singapore in January, was 12th here last year. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick teeing up. Paul Casey, still very consistent. He's not been winning, but we know he's going to be there or thereabouts. We've got Tyrrell Hatton playing. Alex Noren went close last week, and indeed a few weeks ago when he really should have won the event that Jason Day did. There's a good, strong European contingent here, Paul.
Yeah, and Thomas Peters also, you could add to that list. He had a bit of a run last week in America. So, you know, they're all solid players, and really it does come down to if they're holding those putts at the right time to keep the momentum going and get in there Sunday afternoon for the back nine.
Just a couple of other players to mention. We could probably go through the whole list, but I know you watched Chris Paisley win in South Africa. Shubhanka Sharma is a player that's won twice on tour. Two players that might be the next to make that jump. They're in the field this week for a reason.
Yeah, and both technically look excellent. And goodness me, what those wins have done for the confidence going forward as well. So, like you say, so good the strength in depth now on the European Tour.
Predictions, we get two. Who are you going for this week, Mr. Eels? Reminder that the co-presenter's form has been dreadful so far this year. You've only got 10 points on the board.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to change that because we can't miss the cut in Mexico,
this
can
is
we?
True. So there's no minus this week.
No minus this true. Week in that one. So I'm going to go Tommy Fleetwood, and I'm also going to go Ross Fisher. I like Ross Fisher around that golf course as well. Plenty of power. Thinks his way around, and a good putting week from Ross could see him go close.
I'm going to go for two huge outsiders here. They won't be on many people's lists. I'm going to go for Justin Thomas and John Rahm.
Oh, yeah. Well, nice one. Well,
I bet you're wondering how I picked those two.
Yeah, how did you do that?
I don't know. I had to go all the way down to the bottom of the list, but eventually I managed to find those two, which I think could go close.
Yeah.
And in case you're wondering why I've gone against the rules that I explained earlier, because we've got two events this week, we can have anybody for the WGC event, and then for the Shwani Open, we go outside of last year's R2D Top 50. And speaking of the Shwani Open at the Pretoria Country Club in South Africa, it is the other event taking place this week on the European Tour. Dean Burmester won by three shots last year to claim his first European Tour title. It's been an event that has seen South African players win fairly regularly, hasn't it?
Yes, it has down in Pretoria. But, you know, Rhys Enoch from Wales, he won down in the Cape Town on the Sunshine Tour last week. Charlie Ford, I'm going to go for Charlie as one of my picks because he's had two top tens in the Joburg area. So he's liking it down there in South Africa. But as you say, you've got to pick a South African. They're looking good. I'm going to go Trevor Fisher Jr. and Charlie Ford as my two picks.
Okay, you've got your picks away nice and early. What do you know about the course? Because it's fairly well established. It's not very long, 7,081 yards, par 71. I think the rough can be quite penal, can't it?
Yes, it can. It all depends on what the summer's been down there and whether the rough has actually got thick. It'll be in decent condition. There's lots of big trees around. It's quite narrow. But again, like you said, it plays relatively short because of the altitude and the guys do hit it a long way out there.
Co-sanctioned with a Sunshine Tour, strong Sunshine Tour presence. George Coetzee has won here before. Darren Fickard has won an awful lot of times in South Africa as well. The likes of Richard Sterling, who's had one or two injury issues over the last few years, but he's still a quality player. Danny Willett playing as well. Eels, we keep talking about Danny when he tees it up because we're desperate for him to get back to the top tier. Well, have you seen anything in his game this year that suggests he might be able to get back?
No, well, I mean, whilst he's playing, there's always a chance. It's when the players aren't actually out there on the golf course that you do worry for them. But Danny's taken the opportunity to go down south and to try and build his career coming back again. Hopefully, the injury's a thing behind him and now he just needs a bit of confidence.
Just one European winner in the last five renewals of the Suwannee Open, but there is a good, strong contingent as per usual. Julian Suri, who won in Denmark last year. Soomin Lee, who won in China a couple of years ago. We've got Scott Jameson teeing up as well. Alexander Bjork, all the ex-pros tell me that this kid could be something special.
Yeah, former tennis player, I believe, and obviously got the skills with the racket sport there. Transfer into golf, which is great. Nino Bertasio, another good player that could do it, but I'm looking at the experienced end. Richard Bland, not one on tour, been around so many years now. Could it be his week?
OK, you mentioned your two picks. Just to confirm them for us, who are you going for?
I'm going for Charlie Ford and Trevor Fisher Jr.
I am going for Messrs. Coetzee, who was eighth in Qatar last week, yeah. And Bjork, because you lot keep talking about him all the time, so I'm hopeful the Swede will play well this week. And that wraps it up for this week's Race to Dubai show. Join us next week when we'll be looking back on the WGC Mexico Championship and the Suwannee Open, and we'll also be previewing the Indian Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat at europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. And don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes as well. But for now, from Paul Eales.
Yeah, good golfing, everybody.
And from me, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.